gets it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa, and you can also find me on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. I've also been hearing a bunch of people talk about making Blue Sky accounts over the past couple weeks, so I've also made an account there at KoopaTroopa8. I'm not really going to be posting or paying too much attention there unless that takes over over X, like if everyone starts to transition away from it, but just know that it is there, so if you are on that and you want to follow me in the case that I do end up transitioning there, that is available. As always, feel free to reach out to me on whatever platform you can get a hold of me on, and I will always help you out with trade advice, with league advice, where what you should be doing. I just did that last night with another person in the South Harmon Discord who wanted my advice specifically on a trade because there was a bunch of other shitheads in it. So always feel free to reach out to me. I am there to help you out and make sure that you aren't overthinking something and you're making the right move for your team. And if you haven't checked it out recently, be sure to go check out our sponsor, Manscaped. If you use the code SHFF20, you can get 20% off of any Manscaped product. All you need to do is go to Manscaped and use the code SHFF20 at checkout. This week's episode is going to be a continuation of last week's episode. Last week, I covered the Berry grades, specifically quarterbacks and running backs, and this week, I'm going to be finishing it up with the wide receivers and tight ends. If you are not part of the South Harmon Patreon and the South Harmon Discord, you need to get to be a part of that. The Berry grades are part of the Wrinkled Brains channel in the pregame poopers tier, but if you can't afford that or you just want to try it out, sign up for the supporter tier. It's only $1 a month and you get access to a community of some of the best and most active fantasy football players out there. Fantasy football is just something that we talk about every single day, something that we're all discussing and have a huge passion for. If you're sitting here listening to this podcast, you obviously have a passion for Dynasty Fantasy Football, and that's why you should come and join South Harmon. So go to patreon.com/South Harmon in order to sign up. Without further ado, let's get into the wide receiver grades of the Berry grades. Now, the wide receiver grades, we have one wide receiver that stands out among all the rest, and that is Ja'Marr Chase. And he is a step above of everyone else. Talking about this preseason, we would have been talking about how CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, and Justin Jefferson are all the same tier. Well, it seems like we ended up with Ja'Marr Chase because of the Joe Burrow effect. Joe Burrow is able to put out to Ja'Marr Chase, and unfortunately, Sam Darnold and now Cooper Rush are not quite able to do that for Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb, respectively. So that's the primary reason Ja'Marr Chase is the number one wide receiver. But Justin Jefferson is number two, CeeDee Lamb is down there at number seven. They both have had great seasons, so what is nice to see is that the top wide receivers that we were expecting have not changed. There isn't a huge difference. Now, Nico Collins, he is up there at number three. If you go by the What Matters Most grade, he's actually the number one highest wide receiver graded by What Matters Most. But obviously, he only played in six games so far this season. So that is something where looking at Nico Collins, you need to know that, hey, he's actually doing really well. He's up there with the Ja'Marr Chase, the Justin Jefferson. We should potentially be valuing him that high if the rest of the season shakes out the way we're expecting. And he's not going to be valued that way by the rest of the community. And something that we need to pay attention to of, yeah, I want to make sure that I have this guy on my team because he is that true difference-making wide receiver. He's young, but we aren't going to value him quite at that same tier as your more traditional Chase, Jefferson, and Lamb. Now I'm going to start jumping up and down the list a little bit just to highlight some receivers that I think are a little bit out of place to where I would expect them to be. One of those is Zay Flowers. Zay Flowers, his Berry grade puts him at an 81.5%, right in between CeeDee Lamb and Malik Nabers. And in fact, he's right next to CeeDee Lamb. He's at the bottom end of a tier break. The rest of the people in that tier, Nico Collins, Chris Godwin, Amon-Ra St. Brown, AJ Brown, CeeDee Lamb, he's in with those guys. And so if I am going to be looking at who do I think is somebody that's going to be undervalued, kind of like I just pointed out in terms of Nico Collins, I think Zay Flowers is another potential star. He has not done that much in fantasy this season, but based on all the stats that lead us towards fantasy production, he should be doing much better than he is. Now, this isn't a true, hey, fantasy points over or under expected metric. Instead, it's giving us a grade percentage, but it's giving that similar idea of, hey, his fantasy points, they should be leading us to that value and being in that same tier, and he's not. You look at his fantasy points per game, and he's 3 or 4 fantasy points below everyone around him. And so that's somebody that when we're looking at towards the end of this season or towards next season, Zay Flowers is somebody to target and somebody that all the peripheral signs are there for good fantasy production. At 10 and 11 in the Berry grades are Josh Downs and Juwan Jennings. Those two are really, really hard to evaluate for me. The reason being, the peripherals are there for them, but the question is whether the long-term interest is really there. We need to see what Anthony Richardson looks like the rest of the season. When Joe Flacco was in there, Josh Downs was doing great. He was getting targeted a ton. He had a ton of production, and it's the kinds of things that we want to see out of a really good slot wide receiver. When Anthony Richardson is in, there's almost no production coming out of any of the receivers, except for this past week. He looked much better this past week, and so that's potentially something that we could hope happens over the course of the rest of the season. However, I'm not going to hold my breath. We've seen enough games that I am kind of scared that this value for Josh Downs is not going to hold. This production is not going to hold. But the peripherals are there if they're able to get in a quarterback for next season who is decent. Talk about some potential opportunity for, let's say, Sam Darnold comes down to Indianapolis out of Minnesota. There's a possibility that they end up letting him go because they need to get J.J. McCarthy on the field. And then Sam Darnold is able to pick up and be a productive quarterback that's able to get the ball out to his receivers. If that's the case, Josh Downs is somebody that I'm very, very interested in. And Juwan Jennings, this season has been a season of opportunity for him. Really, it's that the other wide receivers on that team, Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, have been fighting injuries all season, and Brandon Ayuk is out now. Juwan Jennings has had the opportunity to step up and show that he is a good receiver, and there's a reason that he was the number 3 wide receiver on the 49ers before they drafted Ricky Pearsall. And there's a reason that he's been playing over Ricky Pearsall over the course of this season so far. And when we look at for next season, Juwan Jennings is going to be somebody that everyone's going to say, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings is the 4th wide receiver. We don't want any of him. But we need to remember how long it takes players to come back from torn ACLs. And Brandon Ayuk, he's probably not going to be ready for week 1. That would be my guess based on recently how I've seen all these ACL recoveries go. And so if that is in fact the case, Juwan Jennings is going to be going out there as the number 3 wide receiver, potentially the number 2 if he holds off Ricky Pearsall once again for that spot. And he's probably going to get a lot of run and a lot of fantasy production. It might not be quite at the same level as this year, but it will be something where it will be solid flex-worthy production, or in best ball, it'll be that kind of wide receiver that gives you a decent floor and has the potential to spike up and hit your lineup in a big way for a couple weeks over the course of the season. So, Juwan Jennings is somebody that's sneakily out there that I think that you should be interested in going and getting this offseason, because right now a lot of the people that have him are trying to compete and they understand the value that he has, but I think a lot of people also expect his value to tank once we get to the offseason. When that happens, that is the time to strike and go get yourself some Juwan Jennings. Now, somebody who's really stood out to me as having a really rough time is Tyreek Hill. If you look at the guys around him in the Berry grades, it's about the guys that you expect to be around him due to fantasy purposes. He's around Cortland Sutton, Jameson Williams, Devontae Adams, and Devonta Smith. Now, Tyreek Hill, we expected him to be a wide receiver one. Or maybe if he had a bad season, he'd be a high-end wide receiver two. We did not expect him to be a wide receiver three. And so that's where he's at right now. We need to look at Tyreek Hill and take a guess as to whether this season is a fluke or whether this is indicative of something long term. Even with Tua on the field, he's not been his normal self. He has not been having those spike weeks that we've expected in years past. And by years past, I even mean just going back to last season. Is this part of a trend longer term for him? He is older. He is getting at that age where the receivers start to slow down. He's maybe not able to have quite that same twitchiness and fool the defender that he was able to do in the past that opens him up for big plays. So Tyreek Hill is one of those guys where if I'm thinking about, okay, well, what does he look like for the rest of this season? He has really good matchups against Houston and Cleveland in weeks 15 and 17 of the playoffs, and they also go against San Francisco in week 16. If he does not show out during those weeks, it becomes really scary for his value, because you're looking at a 31-year-old wide receiver who the previous season ends up somewhere in the range of a wide receiver three. That is something that we do not want to pay a lot for, but because his name is Tyreek Hill, he's still going to be worth a lot. But based on the Berry grades this year, that is something that if it continues like this, I'm going to be out on a lot of Tyreek Hill. I'm not going to be willing to pay the price for the name, kind of like how a lot of people would pay the price for the name DeAndre Hopkins right now. It's a really good name, but is he actually giving you the production that you want on the Chiefs? Is he actually giving you points on your fantasy team when he went to Tennessee and spent all that time there? That's the kind of thing that you need to disassociate the name from the player. Just look at what does the profile look like. And right now, the profile on Tyreek Hill is not something that I'm excited about. He's down there with right next to Devontae Adams. The value difference between those two players is astronomical right now. If you wanted to go get Tyreek Hill, a lot of people would tell you they need more than a first in order to get him. But if you want to go get Devontae Adams, people are willing to give him up for a first and be like, thank goodness somebody gave me a first. What a steal. And so that's the kind of difference of those two players are so similar, yet we value them so differently. You need to look out and make sure that you're taking advantage of those name trends, because that's how you take advantage of your league mates in Dynasty Fantasy Football. The last thing I want to do is whip you back and forth on some values of players that we have valued drastically different from each other. The first one is Rome Odunze. The next one is Alec Pierce. The next one is Christian Kirk. The next one is Rashad Bateman, and the last one is Michael Pittman Jr. All right, we went back and forth in terms of how much value we're going to associate with every single one of these players. But the thing that is similar about all of them is that I read them out in the order that they appear in the Berry grades. They all are relatively similar. Rome Odunze is at 46, and I did go down to number 62 for Michael Pittman. But in terms of Berry grade percentage, they're only separated by less than 4%. And that, all of those players, that similarity between them in terms of the Berry grade shows me how volatile it can be when you have players that are producing at that around wide receiver 50 to further value perspective. Those players, every single one of them, is right at the fringe of, do we want these guys or not? except for that you have some names in there, it's like, oh, I absolutely want those guys. The guys that you might not want that you're like, I don't know about this one. Alec Pierce, he's one of those guys. You have Jordan Whittington in this group and Tutu Atwell. And Rashad Bateman is another one of those guys where I saw him dropped in a couple of leagues where it was lineup and it was pretty tight rosters and things like that. But you also have guys like Roma Dunze in there. You have Christian Watson. Christian Kirk has an injury that has him knocked out for the rest of the season. And you start putting where the value is on these different players. And it becomes really, really hard to justify. Do I want Michael Pittman Jr. or do I just want to get out for whatever pick now and then use that pick in the future in order to try and get a different one of these guys when I see how it's looking next year? If you had Michael Pittman Jr. right now and you traded him away for a second, all right, that feels pretty fair. The problem is you're having to find somebody who's willing to invest in Michael Pittman Jr. who's not been doing good this season. But you take that second and put it on your team and use it to upgrade a running back. And then you take that third that you had on your team and you get yourself the wonderful piece of Darius Slayton. Darius Slayton, he's been doing fine. And that's what Michael Pittman Jr. has been doing. He's been doing fine. But he's not worth the Michael Pittman name. He's not worth what we were expecting out of him. But you can go out and get yourself Darius Slayton. And as long as you're paying the iron price of, yeah, they realize that they have a player that's producing, you can make yourself an upgrade elsewhere on your roster, have the same production, have all the same peripheral stats, and the only thing you've done is get off one name to a no name. And that's the big thing that we like to do here at South Harmon, is get off of the names and onto the players. Get off of the names onto the production. Because production is what's important to our teams. And so this range of players, I recommend going into the Berry grades. Look at this entire range from, I would call it like wide receiver 40 all the way down to potentially like wide receiver 75. Like all of those guys, they're relatively similar. Yeah, there's it. If you're looking at wide receiver 40 of Quentin Johnson, you're like, I definitely want Quentin Johnson over Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. But production-wise and peripherals-wise, the disparity between all those wide receivers becomes pretty flat. They all become pretty replaceable. And so if we can get off of some of those names, if people are starting to buy into Quentin Johnson, great. I can get rid of Quentin Johnson and I can pick up somebody who is way less, has way less name recognition, way less dynasty value, and get close to that same amount of production. I can get rid of Quentin Johnson. I can get Jacoby Myers. Although people are finally starting to figure out that Jacoby Myers is essentially a fantasy cheat code in terms of value versus fantasy points. But you can go out and get yourself a Jerry Jeudy. You can go get yourself Wandale Robinson. Those kinds of guys, they're pretty close and they are valued less than QJ is. And so if you're able to go and take advantage of those names for no names, kind of like how on South Harmon, we had some of those episodes that were called the name brand versus the off brand. That's the kind of move you want to make. You want to make sure that you're going out there, get rid of the names, take the names out of it. Just look at what are the greats? What do the peripherals look like for all these players? And you can really get an idea of, for fantasy purposes, who do you want? And you just come look at this list and all those players that stand out to you, the ones that you're like, he does not look like the rest of the players that are around him. That is either an opportunity to buy or an opportunity to sell. And especially when it comes to those younger guys, that is something that you absolutely want to take advantage of. So now I'm going to move on to tight ends. Now, the number one overall dynasty tight end should be Brock Bowers. He's been rocking it in the tight end world this year. He's been the number one tight end. He's been the guy that is the highest in the Berry grades. He has all the peripherals. Like, I'm not going to spend too much time talking about him other than he's the undisputed tight end one in Dynasty right now. George Kittle has been having himself a great season, and he's been doing a ton, and he's somebody that I mentioned at the beginning of this episode. I was just helping somebody talk through a trade. It was part of the reason that he ended up going through with the trade, was George Kittle has been dominating so well this season that you kind of have to say, I need to go and get him. And in terms of tight end age, George Kittle is only 30. Tight ends don't tend to drop off the same way we see other positions. Yes, Travis Kelce has dropped off now that he's like 34 years old. But he also was doing just fine at age 32. George Kittle, 2 years from now, he's only age 32. So guess what? He'll still be dominating at the same level that he is right now. And all that's happened is that people don't understand how valuable he is in terms of putting points on their team. That's the only thing. And as the season goes on, he'll get worth more and more, and you'll be able to sell him again, kind of like you're able to this year, if you still have him. Or you're using him to help you make that playoff run. So George Kittle is one of those guys that you go on our good friend Keep Trade Cut, and he's the fourth tight end, not that different from TJ Hockenson, Kyle Pitts, and Dalton Kincaid, who are all right below him. But because he is so much older, he's not even close to Sam Laporta. He's not even close to Trey McBride. But you can get that similar kind of production out of that older George Kittle. You can get that production also for the long term. He's one of those guys kind of like Travis Kelce is now, where he's worth more to your team than anybody else is willing to pay. It's really, really hard to move Travis Kelce right now, even though he's a really good tight end this year. Even if you look at the Berry grades, Travis Kelce's coming out as tight end five. In terms of points per game, he's coming out as tight end three. Like, George Kittle is going to be just like Travis Kelce in a couple of years. And if you can buy in early and get all that production for the next couple of years, that whatever pick you send now in order to get him is going to be well worth it in terms of the coming years. That value that you put into him is going to pay back dividends. The next tight end I want to point out is Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith has been a surprise for this season. We did not expect him to be doing so much for the Miami offense, because the Miami offense has historically not utilized the tight end very much. However, Jonnu Smith has been doing really well. He's gotten us 13.1 fantasy points per game. But if you look at the Berry grades, he should be doing even more. He should be the number four tight end on this season, instead of him being like the number seven or eight that he is right now. And so Jonnu Smith is somebody that you need to go and say, what does his contract look like? He's on a 2-year contract with the Dolphins. And for next year, his contract, they could get out of it, but he'd only be a $3.5 million tight end. That's the amount of production that he's giving Miami right now is way more than $3.5 million. And so guess what? Jonnu Smith is going to be somebody that you're going to have next year putting up similar numbers and potentially even better numbers. So Jonnu Smith is somebody that I want to go out and get now. He's going to help me the rest of this season. Even though he doesn't have necessarily the best tight end schedule, he's still going to be out there. He's still going to be really useful for your teams. And then next year, you're going to have a full year of Jonnu Smith. So he's another guy that I want to go out and get on my teams. Sitting there at the number 7 spot is one of my favorite tight ends, Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry, he has been doing quite well for a tight end this year. He's gotten you 12.3 fantasy points per game, and he's also appearing number 7 on the Berry grades. Obviously, this is about replacement level for somebody who's in a standard PPR league with no tight end premium. But if you're in a league that's best ball, if you're in a league that has multiple tight ends started, Hunter Henry is a great target. He is somebody that you want to go to and have on your team to fill those positions because he's going to do solid for you and not hurt you. Plus, he comes pretty cheap, unless that owner has some attachment to him. Like, it might be harder to get Hunter Henry off of me if I have him, because I understand the value that he's giving to my team. But somebody who's not, somebody who's maybe in a start two tight end league that also has David Njoku and Kyle Pitts, well, if you're going out there and offering something for Hunter Henry, they'll probably be like, oh, you're offering for something off my bench? Sure, here, have him. And you're getting the better tight end. So that's the kind of thing that you can go and get for your team. You can go and get yourself that Hunter Henry to help you out because he's been doing really well. Add into the fact that Drake May has been leading this New England offense and they've been doing much better with him under center. That is something where you get to next year, his stats might be even better than they were this year. As that offense picks up, as they find their rhythm, it's going to be one of those things where he has more opportunity to catch balls in the end zone. And when we're looking at our tight ends, what do we want the most? We want touchdowns. A touchdown for a tight end, doesn't matter what the rest of their stats are, instantly vaults them into tight end, into overall, like a tight end one, top 12 tight end of the week. And Hunter Henry is probably going to have those opportunities. He seems to like it there in New England, and they seem to like him. And I fully expect that he's going to be that starting tight end over there in New England and getting a lot of points for your fantasy team. The last player I want to talk about, I've already mentioned him, is Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts, I think the experiment needs to be over. We're talking about a player who, he had that amazing rookie season where he got a ton of yards and he got no touchdowns. And we were like, okay, all he needs is the touchdowns. And then he had 2 years of horrible quarterback play. And then this year, he has Kirk Cousins. What did Kirk Cousins do last year after the Vikings traded for TJ Hockenson? He made TJ Hockenson the number one overall tight end for every single one of those weeks that he was there in Minnesota. When TJ Hockenson was there, he was better than literally anyone else. And we get Kyle Pitts, and he's out here. He's not in the top 10 of tight ends in terms of points per game. He's down here in the Barry grades at number 14. Like, he's not giving us the fantasy production that we want to get. And I don't know exactly what it is, but we cannot value Kyle Pitts like we do a lot of these other tight ends. We can, in terms of your start one tight end league, if you had Kyle Pitts, you are not getting the value compared to all the other tight ends that are being started every single week. In front of him, guys that I would expect to be started every single week: Brock Bowers, George Kittle, Travis Kelce, Dallas Goedert, Dalton Kincaid, David Njoku, Jake Ferguson. I've got seven guys in front of Kyle Pitts. He's tight end eight of guys that would have been started every single week. Evan Ingram is behind him, and Evan Ingram missed a couple weeks. And in terms of on a points per game basis, Evan Ingram is in front of him. So that's eight tight ends in front of Kyle Pitts. And then you can look at the fact that we have the other random tight ends. You have your Kate Ottens, your Hunter Henrys, your Will Disleys, your Zach Ertz that are all doing better. And so if you are not trying to get Kyle Pitts as a top eight or nine tight end in your normal start one tight end, PPR, low tight end premium kinds of leagues, then Kyle Pitts is not somebody that I want to pay up for. You're paying up for hopium, and that hopium has not happened for 4 years at this point. We used to, in South Harmon, talk about Kyle Pitts as a unicorn. He's no longer that unicorn. He's like any other tight end. Our unicorn is Brock Bowers, and everyone knows it because Brock Bowers has actually been putting up the points to match up that unicorn status. Kyle Pitts has not done that at any point in his career, and I'm willing to take a step back and not try and chase that. I'm willing to say I'm not going to try and wait for this to be the year that he breaks out, because we've done that with so many other tight ends over the course of their careers, and he is somebody that I just need to sit back and wait. At this point, he's burned us in too many seasons in a row. You need to be willing to just sell him to that other manager who's willing to pay the high price because it's Kyle Pitts. Once again, one of those names. And just get yourself a lesser tight end. Get yourself a couple of guys that are in that lower tight end range, and you'll probably match pretty close to them. And so that's all you need to do. And then turn that value into a position elsewhere on your team. And that's what's going to get you the most points and help you win those championships. I said that was the last player I was going to do, and then I forgot because I saw Sam Laporta when I was talking about Kyle Pitts there. And Sam Laporta, he's a similar boat. I want to try and get out earlier on Sam Laporta. Sam Laporta still has that value of being tight end 3 overall on Keep Trade Cut. But what did we see this season? We see Jameson Williams is actually producing, and Sam Laporta's not the number 2 target on this offense anymore. Not as the number 2 target, he's now down there with that Kyle Pitts, with the Mark Andrews, with even Mike Gesicki is right next to him in the Barry grades. Like, that's a name that very few people had, or if they had him, is just as a backup tight end. If you're talking like your low roster redraft leagues, like Gesicki wasn't rostered, and he's down there with him. So when we're looking at what do we want to do with Sam Laporta, I think we want to get out. The Lions are probably not going to change too much. They have everything solidified. They have Jared Goff as their quarterback. They have an awesome running back room of David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. They have the wide receivers of Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams. The roles that everyone have on this offense is solidified, and it's not changing anytime soon. That team is good. They don't have turmoil. They're in a great position. And then if that offense is in fact reliant on that offensive coordinator of Ben Johnson, and he ends up leaving, that is only bad things for Sam Laporta. You need to hope that the next offensive coordinator is some tight end lover. That's the only way that I see Sam Laporta turns back into that difference-making tight end that we saw last year. So if you liked this analysis, or you want to go even deeper and go into the tight ends that I did not talk about, the guys that are lower on the list, go to patreon.com/southharmon and sign up for the pregame pooper tier. You'll get access to the Wrinkled Brains channel where these grades are pinned, and you can take a look at them. You can look at the grades that Barry updates every single week like clockwork and pay attention to how are these guys doing this season and what might that show us for future years. Now on to the last two segments of the week, the normal two that I'm doing every single week. The first one being the number of players rostered on each fantasy team. For the quarterbacks, we have 60 quarterbacks, up by one from the last time we looked at this 2 weeks ago, and that kind of makes sense. We've had some quarterback injuries, and we've been picking up more guys around the league. Running back number, still the same at 98. Wide receiver is at 139, which is one more than the last time we looked at this. And tight ends is still at 52. So we've seen the number of wide receivers go up by one, the number of quarterbacks go up by one. That mostly has to do with injuries, and then also a combination of some of these wide receivers coming back from injury. I think that seeing some of these wide receivers who are returning is we are not yet dropping those guys that were helping out when they were injured. And so as we are dynasty managers, we're holding on to hope that this guy who had a role, say when Nico Collins was out, all those Houston wide receivers, we're hoping that they will continue to have a role in that offense. Whereas we might need to be a bit more judicious in just making sure we drop them once the main guys are back. Lastly, we have the tight ends don't matter. Last week, we ended up going with Brock Wright. Brock Wright, he saved us by catching a touchdown, and so thus he had a good week. But a lot of the other reasons that I would have gone with Brock Wright didn't end up pan out. He did not end up getting all the usage in the passing game that Sam Laporta did. So if we want to move off of Brock Wright this week, we need to look at one of the three other options that we have. First one is Josh Oliver. The problem is Josh Oliver is out. He's not going to play this week, so he's obviously not somebody that we can choose. The second one is Eric Saubert. Eric Saubert, the reason he was interesting is because George Kittle was out last week. Well, unfortunately for us, George Kittle is returning back this week. And so we have AJ Barner. AJ Barner is, he's been playing a bunch for the Seattle Seahawks, and Noah Fant, he is questionable but supposedly trending well to play. He's realistically our best option that we have to do off of the list from the waiver wire pod this week. So unfortunately, we're kind of forced into AJ Barner. We don't have another option who's going to even have the potential of being the number one tight end on their team this week. And maybe we can hope that if Noah Fant returns, that they don't play him as much in order to not re-aggravate his groin injury. He only got to a limited practice this week, so that maybe makes me think that they might limit his snaps. In addition, AJ Barner had been slowly trending towards playing more and more before Noah Fant even got injured. Before Noah Fant ended up leaving the field, AJ Barner had gotten up to playing 37 and 40% of the snaps. He'd been consistently getting one or two receptions per game, and so even if Noah Fant is out on the field, we might be able to rely on him still getting a little bit of fantasy production for us and not being a flat-out zero. So that's who I'm going to go with this week, is AJ Barner, and that's everything that I have for you this week. If you want to reach out to me for any reason, reach out to me on Discord at KoopaTroopa8 or on X at DynastyKoopa. I'm always there to answer your questions and help you out. That's everything for this week, and as always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.